Hi, and welcome again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's episode, we've got a real treat for you guys. We're going back into our earlier roots of the podcast, interviewing inventors and creators, and we've got one of the greatest ones with us today. I'm really impressed and really amazed he showed up. Yet again, we've convinced another West Coast person to come all the way over here to New York. I'm talking about creator of Amazon.com, Mr. Jeff Bezos himself. How's it going, Jeff?
Oh, it's good. You didn't say that I'm the richest guy in the world.
Oh, well, actually, that was only for a day. I don't know if you realize that. Because I almost like 5 hours after you were announced as the richest man in the world, Amazon stock prices dipped a bit, and you are now the second richest under Bill Gates again.
Is Bill Gates here?
No.
I'm the richest guy in the studio, then.
Yeah, you are certainly the richest guy in this studio.
And flying here was no trouble. I got a flight suit. I wanted to test it out.
Oh, you have a flight suit?
Yeah.
How does that work?
You seen Iron Man?
Yeah, I have seen Iron Man.
It's way better than that.
Wait, so it's like a robotic suit? Because I've seen flight suits that are like, you know, those wing suits that like skydivers use. But this is an actual like jet suit.
Yes. And it is not made of metal either, so it's not heavy. It's lightweight. Ironically, this will pass the metal detector at the airport. Not that I ever would actually go on a plane after this.
So,
fly commercial.
You definitely have your own private jet. I mean, being even the second richest man in the world, you can afford such luxuries. But now you prefer to fly yourself altogether?
Yes. I like my alone time.
How long did it take you to get here in your flight suit?
3 hours.
3 hours? Wow. I mean, I know Elon Musk is talking about building a Hyperloop that would take like 3 hours to get from Silicon Valley to Los Angeles, but 3 hours from Los Angeles to New York, that's incredibly fast.
Yeah, it was Seattle, New York, a little slower. But yeah, the Hyperloop is for poor people.
For poor people.
I'm not getting in a loop that anyone else uses. This is my suit. I'm very comfortable in it. 3 hours, Seattle to Astoria, Queens, no problem.
Now, do you see any other practical uses of this suit? Do you intend to let the common man, every man, be able to afford a flight suit?
I want it to be the only one.
You want it to be the only one. Now, that's a lot of power to have to yourself. What do you intend to do? Do you just tend to use it for leisure, or is there other, like, you reference Iron Man. Is there other
thoughts? Oh, I'm not fighting crime. That's what the police are for.
Okay.
I will be using it mostly to go record podcasts where I talk about it.
Okay, so it's really so you can maximize your podcasting ability.
Yes. When I die, then we'll make a commercial one. But I'm going to be the only guy with a flight suit.
All right.
Until I die.
Are you afraid that, like, someone else might steal your flight suit technology now that they know that they can make one?
It's scary now that I've let the cat out of the bag.
No, I mean, as you know, the tech world is a hyper-competitive field. I mean, I'm sure when you started Amazon.com in the 90s, there was other book-selling websites. Because you started it as purely a book site to sell.
I was
like,
so pissed when I found out about buy.com. Oh, yeah, BarnesandNobles.com, too.
Yeah, I mean, there was Borders. You guys basically shut down Borders Books.
I feel so great about that. I shut down the Borders, something Trump will never do.
Oh, okay. We try not to get political here on Yes, I and I Am, but I am well aware of your feud with our president of the United States. I mean, just owning the Washington Post, we can read your publication and know your thoughts.
I don't really like the idea of a president with less than $10 billion.
Less than 10. Wait, you want a richer president?
Richer, yeah.
Wait, but I don't think there's been a richer president than our current one.
Things are going in the wrong direction. My boy Zuck is going to change all that.
Wait, Mark Zuckerberg?
Yes.
If Mark Zuckerberg were to be president, he's too young to run for president currently, because I think you have to be 40.
35. I think so.
35 is for Senate. I think 40 is to be president. I might be wrong.
You need to go on Amazon and buy yourself a constitution, son. It's 35.
It's 35. Is Zuckerberg even 35 yet?
He will be for the next election.
Oh, wow. So he'll be like right at the cut right there. We'll breach politics a little bit because this is like tends to be a category of yours. I mean, Trump has called out your name like specifically saying Bezos is controlling the media, that there's fake news from Amazon, which is kind of bizarre when you think about it. I mean, I don't think about the place where I buy my school supplies as the same place that would be controlling the media.
No, not at all. We keep the media pure. Facebook's what controls the media.
Facebook. I mean, you just called Mark Zuckerberg your boy, but you kind of threw him under the bus just there. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, people get their news from Facebook. He knows what everyone's reading.
He knows what everyone's reading.
So he's got all the media. He knows exactly what will win the election because of that. He's got everyone's information.
Yeah, okay. You talk about information collecting. You, too, benefit from information collecting. I mean, I've seen ads on my computer for Amazon products that I never thought about buying, but, like, are eerily similar to, like, interests of mine, and I was like, how would they know? And it's just this aggregation of data that you guys collect.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
We get six of us in the room, and we got all the data.
Six.
We got me, Zuck, Gates, and three other dudes. And we know everything.
Three other dudes.
Yeah.
Who can you disclose who the three other dudes are?
It's classified.
Are they other rich people?
I don't talk to anyone who's worth less than $5 billion.
You don't talk. Oh, I apologize because myself, I am less than $5 billion.
We've temporarily deposited $5 billion in your account. That as soon as this podcast ends, we'll go away.
So oh, wow. It's a loophole. I feel like I should get on Amazon.com right now and start making some purchases.
You should, yeah.
Redistribute that money back to you. Get some goods. But I have to say, you are a true American success story. I mean, you grew up in Arizona, moved to Texas, went to Princeton, but like your father, he was an engineer. You came from a very humble start. How do you think that attributes to like where you are at now in your life?
Well, my father built things, and I built everything. I just really wanted to take what he did and go to the next level. I learned a lot at Princeton. Arizona was good, but the weather changed too much, got too hot. So I'm in Seattle, nice even weather.
Okay.
The rain doesn't affect me.
How do you feel about the hipster culture out there? Because Seattle is one of the harbor cities for these, like, millennials that are taking over your industry, the tech industry. They're yucking up with their,
local business. Like any of that.
You don't like them supporting local business?
No, I like the yuppies.
You like the yuppies.
They buy stuff on Amazon when they're bored at work. That's perfect.
Okay, so you don't want any of this artisan stuff?
No. Artisan, no good.
Okay. It's interesting.
Mass produced.
Mass produced.
And warehouses in Seattle.
Now, you bring up your warehouses. Now, this is a kind of divisive topic because there's been a little bit of controversy with Amazon's warehouses and treatment of warehouse employees. Now, I'm sure you've heard these comments.
I do hear things.
Do you stand by the way you deal with these situations? Or how do you find yourself in this position?
Well, these American warehouse employees complain a lot. We will be getting workers who can't complain soon.
What do you mean by workers who can't complain?
Well, if they complain and it's not in English, we don't understand them.
Oh, so you're talking about foreign language. I was always under the impression that you're just pushing further and further towards automation. I mean, I know Elon Musk said recently that he's terrified by the strides made in the world of artificial intelligence. Now,
he would be.
Do you associate with Mr. Musk?
Yeah. I mean, he's silly to me. Because why are you making a car? What's the point of a car? We're gonna have flight suits, but have the Hyperloop. I mean, you're getting in the auto business. That's a one-digit billionaire's game.
One-digit billionaire.
Yeah, that's what we call them. One D's.
One D's. Oh,
one
that,
D's.
That,
yeah.
I only wish I could,
the
like...
D stands for dumb.
So... going to move on a little bit to a very interesting undertaking by you,
Blue Origin. So proud of that.
Where is your mindset for Blue Origin. Where do you feel Blue Origin is going?
It's going big. It's going to be so wonderful.
You said that you're going to be commercially bringing people to space by 2018. That's next year. That's insane. Yeah. You haven't had like your own manned flight up there yet, and which you scheduled for this year, but you're trying to bring people to space. I know this is something that Musk has tried to do. Richard Branson has tried to do this, but being the richest man in the world for a day, second richest man in the world currently, this is a huge undertaking that you're still pursuing.
And when I get to space, I'll be the richest man there.
Okay, so
Bill Gates is stuck on this planet with his windows.
So
where we're going, there are no windows.
Where they're going, there are no... Well, I hope there's some windows, yeah. or else you won't be able to see out that spaceship.
That's a good point.
So what is your dream with Blue Origin? I mean, you when you announced it in 2006, you founded it in 2000, but you kept it tight under wraps. But you announced it in 2006, and you said, like, space amusement parks? I mean, that's kind of crazy. That's like out of the TV show Futurama or something, you know?
Inspiring TV show. Very inspiring TV show.
You're a fan?
Yeah, in the Blue Origin, the roller coaster is the whole park. And then you just sitting on a chair is like the ride.
Sitting on a chair?
A regular chair is the ride, yeah. So it's 3 hours of roller coaster followed by 3 minutes of sitting on a regular.
Do you intend to like have like daily rockets into space?
It's under wraps. Yeah. I set very strong goals. My team works very hard, but we're not ready to talk about yet what's gone into space and what hasn't.
Okay, let's get a little more personal then. What is with your fascination with space?
I want to conquer more. I've already gotten this world. I've been the richest man for a day. That's the best, the highest honor in the land.
So you want to conquer more?
Yes.
What does conquering entail?
Building my own planet.
Building your own planet. You heard it first here. Yeah. Now, who would be welcome on this planet? And would it be on an existing planet?
The problem is Mars is too cold. Venus is too hot.
Yes.
We need something in between that's just right. And that's the planet I want to build.
I mean, in between Mars and Venus is the planet Earth, which we're currently residing on.
Too many people.
Now, how would one build a planet?
There's a lot of empty space on Earth.
A lot of empty space.
We're going to take. Like, I bought out about a quarter of Montana. That's going to the other planet.
Wait, a quarter of Montana?
It was like, so cheap.
Wait, how? I'm just trying to think of the physics of it all. How would you remove a quarter of Montana into space?
We got some interesting stuff in that warehouse.
Interesting stuff in a warehouse. In the warehouse is in Texas?
Yes, in this Texas warehouse.
Blue Origin is.
Also, that weird, awkward part of Texas that kind of cuts off Oklahoma, we're taking that too.
Okay.
We'd like Texas, yeah, let's...
So what do you think Lincoln about, top hat like...
on Texas.
The world thinking about, like, oh, he's just going to start removing chunks of the planet and sending him to space. I mean, that's got to be an unpopular idea.
It won't be popular, no. That's why I'm trying to get Zuck in.
Okay.
When Zuck's in, I got a lot more.
So you got you and you got Zuck.
When Zuck has nukes, we're good.
Oh, when Zuck has nukes?
Yeah. He's got all of Facebook and all the nukes.
All of Facebook and all the nukes.
And then he's got the nukes.
Wow.
That's everything.
That is a lot.
That's everything.
So
I really shouldn't be revealing so much.
I mean, this is incredibly exciting. Because you know our planet isn't going to last forever,
exactly.
According to science.
We need a backup planet.
And like...
Only double-digit billionaires allowed.
Only double-digit billionaires allowed. So Musk wouldn't be allowed on your planet?
Oh, no, not at all.
What if...
He can Hyperloop his way to...
Because I know Musk also owns SpaceX. So he has the ability to travel into space. Do you fear other, like, space travelers trying to take over your new planet?
No.
Because, like, any new land, everyone wants a piece.
Have you seen Independence Day?
Yes.
And I mean the second one.
Oh, Resurgence?
The second one. That's the more realistic Independence Day. Yes, Resurgence. They put a force field on an entire planet in that movie.
So are you developing force field technology?
Already developed it. That's at our warehouse in North Dakota.
Now, have you thought to share this with the United States government? I mean...
we're currently in a time where we're now facing nuclear warfare threats again. I mean, it feels like we're in the 50s.
I'm not too concerned about Guam. There's not even 1 millionaire in Guam.
Not even 1 millionaire in Guam.
Guam's a bunch of five-digiters.
Yeah. Five-digiters. I mean, that's really sad way to look at.
Five Ds.
That's a sad way to look at the world, Mr. Bezos. I mean, these five Ds are the ones that buy Amazon products, you know.
I'm more into the white collar guys, though. With Guam, they got outdoor jobs. It's too nice outside. That's why I like Seattle. It's miserable outside. You go inside and buy Amazon.
That makes me bring up, what would the climate be like on planet Bezos? Would you call it Planet Bezos? What would you call it?
Yes. Also known as Plan B.
Plan B.
Plan B for short.
Plan B. So what's the climate like on Plan B?
It's warm.
It's warm.
It's warm outside.
But you did say that you don't like the climate of a place like Guam and that you prefer a place like Seattle.
Well, us two-digit billionaires, we can have warm weather. Everyone else needs cold so they can go inside and buy Amazon.
Oh, okay.
It would also suck some heat. It would suck some of the sun's energy away from Earth and make Earth a little bit colder.
It would make Earth colder.
Yeah, it would make all of Earth like Seattle, which is the perfect place for poor people.
Making Earth colder might not be a bad thing. I mean, considering the global warming
That's
face.
That's what we're running on. Zuck's going to say we're going to end global warming. He's not going to say how.
Okay. So this is all a plan to end global warming, but inside that plan, you're making this kind of Elysium where
what an inspiring movie. It did also, the writer used to work for me. I did sue him. I wondered that he copied my idea. I was about
Neil Blomkamp?
Yeah, I was about to sue Neil Blomkamp. Then I realized that would kind of draw attention to the thing, so I dropped the suit.
Okay. I mean, it is an interesting concept where the upper 1% does live in this planet in the sky, Plan B, as you would say.
I mean, they let the single digit billionaires on that planet. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I mean,
At a meeting of generals, you don't let any captains in.
Okay. If Musk were to accumulate more funds, which I assume he would, I mean, he's about to blow up with his new Tesla that he's releasing for, like, consumer prices. I'm sure he...
Silly cars.
Silly cars?
We need nuclear-powered cars.
Nuclear-powered cars.
Yeah.
This is... I mean, you're living up to your meme right now, Mr. Bezos. I don't know if you've seen the memes going around.
Oh, I see them. Yeah.
Where it's, like, an old picture of you and says, I sell books. And the current picture of you says, I sell everything.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that.
Yeah?
I was the one who started that.
Yeah, really? You make your own memes?
Yes, yes. Oh, man.
You make your own memes and you travel to podcasts in your flight suit.
Yeah, no, I'm an attention whore. You gotta be an attention whore to get this rich. If I gave you $5 million right now, you could live the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's all you need to live. But if you want to be... So the drive for the billions is to be great, is to have your own planet. That's what you need. $10 trillion. That's how much a planet costs, by the way.
Oh, wait. Okay, the planet is going to cost $10
trillion. Yeah, it's a planet.
I mean, that almost sounds around about the...
It's
the
a
amount
good deal.
Of, that's
We're
kind of the amount of money that the United States is in debt, though.
Exactly, yeah. They're a planet in debt. That's going to be our slogan. For the amount of this debt that Trump's run up, we could buy a whole planet.
And you're going to.
Yeah, and we're going to, yes. That will solve global warming.
It will solve global warming. And in the meantime, get all of the richer people off the
Yeah, people
planet
hate
Earth.
The 1%. We're going to get rid of them, but to a better place. Bernie Sanders will be on board.
Bernie Sanders will be on board your plan? Your plan B?
Oh, no, I mean on board with the plan. No, Bernie's just a millionaire.
Is he even a millionaire? I didn't think he made that much money.
Well, some of it was illegally borrowed from Vermont, but he's a millionaire.
Okay, that makes sense then. He'll still be on Earth, but he'll be in favor of jettisoning you guys into space.
Yeah, and once me and Zuck go to the other planet, we'll let him be president. I mean, he's going to die pretty soon. We'll let him be president for a couple of years.
I mean, what's...
Bernie, try your socialism on the silly planet with no billionaires.
I thought Zuck was going to be president. Is, like, Bernie going to be president after Zuck?
Yeah, Zuck, it'll take 8 years to build the planet. So that's Zuck's turn.
That seems really fast to build a planet.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah, well, you know, we're getting on Amazon Prime, so it's quick. Delivery is very quick for, yeah, I've gotten delivery quick. It'll be delivered, the piece will be delivered by drone, it'll be quick. Only 8 years we build the planet. Then Zuck and I retire to the planet. Bernie can take over. He'll be about 80.
I mean,
he could try socialism for a couple of years. Whatever. Yeah, that silly thing.
I mean, that sounds all well.
I'm even going to let him redistribute the wealth of everyone who's under $10 billion. They weren't that rich anyway.
Okay, so people who are under $10 billion are no longer billionaires. They're
redistributed. They were so poor, who cares? We might as well round them down to zero.
Okay, Musk has some work to do.
Musk, he better.
He has 8 years to get above that benchmark. We're lighting
a fire under his butt, yeah.
If he wants to join you on Plan B, he's going to have to do something else. All right, so do you mind if we move on a little bit? I'm going to bring you into, like, a speed round questions. First one is, have you ever played the game?
Can we call this the same day delivery round?
Oh, sure. Today, this round is now called the Amazon same day delivery round.
Sponsor.
All right. Are you familiar with the game Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to give you three names. You tell me which category they go into.
I would fuck, marry, and kill you, son, now.
All right. So the first name, Steve Jobs. I know he's already dead, but pretend he's alive.
Okay.
Second name, Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Third name, your buddy, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. Fuck, marry, kill. Well, I feel bad for Elon. He's the poorest. So I'd marry him so he gets half my money.
Okay. And that would bring him into the echelon. He'd be able to go to Plan B.
Yeah. Exactly. He'd come to Plan B as my wife. I polygamy's allowed there, so it wouldn't be a big deal. I'd have several other wives. So I would marry him. Steve Jobs is the one I'd fuck because he's user friendliness. So
yeah, so
he makes things easy,
and he aims to please.
He aims to please exactly. Yeah, you good user interface, nice and easy. That's fine. Bill Gates, I would kill because he's the richest man in the world, and I'd like to be the richest man.
Makes sense.
You can't be the richest man if you're dead. This planet.
He intends to redistribute all of his wealth into poorer nations once he dies, so, yeah, it's not just going to go to, like, Melinda or his kids. So, yeah, no, he would no longer be the richest man. That makes sense. All right, next I want to do a little bit of word association, if you don't mind.
I'm ready.
All right, first word, tech.
Less. Techless is what the world was before Amazon.
Space.
Me.
Books.
Old Amazon.
Greatness.
Jeff Bezos.
Politics.
Suck 2020.
Flight.
List bird. That's what I eat for dinner every day. Dodo eggs.
Rich.
Jeff Bezos.
1%.
Too poor.
Amazon.
Ugh, it chokes me up. I'm crying. Ugh, it's such a beautiful word.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Bezos. That is all we have time for today. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners before you head out?
I had a best friend in 1987. He told me we should spell Amazon with a G. A G is what he's worth today. That pathetic loser.
All right. Well, thank you again, Mr. Bezos, for coming out here, and we will see you all next time. Thank you again for listening to the Yes and I Am podcast. This podcast has been completely improvised, so instead of having the actual Jeff Bezos here, it has been my friend, Mr. Freddie G. How's it going, Freddie?
Oh, it's good. I hope people aren't disappointed that stuff wasn't real. I know people were getting excited to go to that planet, but it still could be true. It just wasn't Jeff Bezos telling you it.
I mean, I was getting a little excited to be, like, living in this Neil Blomkamp dystopian future, but it was a nice little world we were playing in there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I haven't even seen that movie. I did see the trailer a couple times.
Yeah, you saw Matt Damon with the mech armor.
Yeah.
All right, so, Freddie, you have your own podcast that you work on, Model in the Mensch.
Model in the Mensch, that's right, yeah. Love if you guys would listen. It's on iTunes and all
those platforms. Yeah, so what is that show about?
So it's two comedians who look very different, just hanging out and saying funny things. So I'm a 33-year-old Jew who's married, and he's a 23-year-old model who's 6'7". I'm 5'10", he's 6'6". So we're very different.
He is a large gentleman.
And we just know a lot of funny people, and we interview them, or we bring them on and riff. We don't talk. We try to talk about stand-up comedy because people who aren't in stand-up comedy don't care. But we kind of will just get
Do you guys talk about, like, the news and stuff?
Occasionally. I'll just I'll complain about anything, so yeah. But what more it's a more of it is more just interviewing funny people.
Interviewing about their lives,
yeah.
So it's like you get their kind of true life story or...
Some, if they have an interesting one, yeah. Others will kind of just riff with them.
Okay.
Yeah, and I love this. I love being on concept podcasts. I'm not a believer that podcasts need a high concept. I think people hopefully will enjoy spending time with me and Dylan.
I recently listened to your Martin Shkreli episode.
Oh, that's awesome.
That you've been like pushing around. That was quite entertaining. It kind of like... brought back that old kind of morning radio show, like, prank calling.
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't know Dylan was even going to try to call him, and then and then it was crazy that he answered, and then figuring out that it was real and all that, it was, yeah, insane. And in that episode, we didn't have a great sound setup, and Dylan kind of had it, so I ended up not talking much at all, and just kind of commenting off to the side, but Dylan did an amazing job with that, and it was really exciting to have someone famous be on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the comedians you bring on, like, some of them catch steam and
We've had some people who have, an episode that's coming out probably around when this comes out, we have Iris Bear, who is the woman, have you ever seen Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
She's in this ski lift episode, she plays the Orthodox Jewish woman who jumps off the ski lift.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she's done many women's shows, she's done a lot of stuff on TV and film, she's like a character actress. So you may have seen her someplace. We've had some comics who got more successful. Like, we had Anthony DeVito, and now he's on Comedy Central with a half hour. And he's on MSG on this sports talk show with this guy, Sam Morrell, who's a successful comic as well.
Oh, very
cool.
So
we've had some people who are kind of getting a little bit more famous. But, yeah. Martin Shkreli is kind of a bit more famous than the average
comedian.
How
long have you been doing Model and the Mensch?
Oh, we're about to hit our year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So
we've got
50 episodes. It'll be sometime in September.
In September.
And we always joke that on Thanksgiving, we're going to have an episode with all our fans. We're going to have our fans over. So
are you going to have, like, a live episode?
Yeah, we're joking that we'll have a live. If people want to come, it's not a joke. But so far, we don't have any RSVPs. So
That's kind of the dream with this podcast is, like, that it will eventually have a live episode that the comedians that come on stage, like, don't know who they're playing until they come on stage. And that, like, it becomes a situation where, like, I'll even give them props and such. And then as I introduce them, they realize who they are.
You definitely, this would definitely work live. And you would just have to get people to agree to be on it who have a little bit of a draw.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but I think this definitely could, there's nothing about this that couldn't work live. So I think
We tend to get all of our guests tend to be big in the improv community and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure a lot of them have their own audiences and such.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of venues in New York that would let you do that. See, the thing with a Model and the Mensch Live podcast is we don't have any kind of concept.
So would they all be going into your apartment?
Would have to. Well, we would probably find a place to do it, but they would have. The only people going to come see a live Model and the Mensch podcast are fans of Model and the Mensch. So we need to build up a fan base before we can do that. But with a podcast with a concept, you could actually draw people who maybe haven't listened and like the concept.
No, certainly. It sounds like you guys are doing really well. I see you posting about it all the time. Your guests look like, from what I've listened to, the episodes I've listened to, it's really funny, really good quality.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we work really hard on it. We were just thrilled to have any listeners, and then the numbers are moving in the right direction, so we're happy about that.
All right. Well, thank you again for heading out here, Freddie. It's been great having you on the show. Anything last you want to say to our listeners?
You can check me out at freddiegcomedy.com, at orangefreddieg on Twitter. And, got shows all the time. Got a weekly show at QED and a story every Saturday at 11. So, yeah, appreciate all that. And, Model the Mensch out on iTunes.
All right. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Our theme music is by the artist Regulus. He's on SoundCloud. You can go check him out. Thank you again for listening. Please rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. It helps with visibility on the show. We will see you all next time.